It's The Record on KUOW. I'm Bill Radke. When the U.S. Senate considers President Trump's new Supreme Court justice nominee, they will debate the ways Brett Kavanaugh might change the shape of the court for decades to come. I wonder whether they'll consider how the justices treat one another. On KUOW's new podcast, Battle Tactics for Your Sexist Workplace, the hosts played audio from the Supreme Court bench of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg being interrupted.
Well, suppose there were three unrelated cases.
Pardon?
Suppose there were three unrelated cases, but the statute...
To be clear, that was Anthony Kennedy interrupting the notorious RBG during oral arguments at the Supreme Court. And you might not have even heard Justice Ginsburg there because she barely got a chance to talk.
I inadvertently interrupted Justice Ginsburg, but in the 19 cases here, you don't
find
that?
Did he just say he interrupted her and then he kept talking anyway?
Yes.
Yes, he did. Those KOW hosts are Jeannie Yandel and Eula Scott-Bino. Welcome back.
Hello.
Thanks for having us.
So for your podcast, Battle Tactics for Your Sexist Workplace, why did you take it all the way up to the highest court in the land?
Because it was documented and it was easy to find, really.
Yes.
And accessible.
This yes.
Most of us don't have microphones in our workspaces.
That's mm-hmm. true. That's true. And it was also sort of, even the professor from Northwestern University who did the study on interruption, she wasn't necessarily intending to do that study, but she kept hearing it happen. And she said it was, you know, it made her angrier than when she's interrupted. So that's why she decided to look at it.
There have been two women added to the court in the last decade. Has that changed the interruption rate?
Nope.
No, they're still interrupting.
No, nope.
Why is that?
At a rate of 3-1.
Do you think?
Well, I mean, I don't know exactly why. I could sure speculate, but I don't know exactly why. But it's, you know, one of the things that we learned in making the episode, and we're not trying to say it's the women justices' fault, but there is a thing that has been studied called the female register, right? And that happens, women will tend to upspeak, so turn a statement into a question or kind of couch what they're going to say, like, I'm sorry, this might be totally off base, I just might be crazy, but, you know, disregard it if I'm wrong. And I'm not saying that any of the women justices do this, but the professor who did the study noticed that it tended to happen when they got on the court, and then it dissipated over time.
You noted in your podcast that in the wider world, if I got this right, that women also interrupt women at a higher rate than I don't know, than you might expect. It's not just going one way. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I think that so everyone can be interrupted and can be an interrupter. But I think the big difference there is that often when women are interrupting, they're what I believe to happen, what I've witnessed myself, is to build on something.
Yes.
So if Jeannie's talking and she's making a point or she's elaborating something, but I'm kind of missing some detail, I might interrupt and say, wait, so where did you say you were parking? Oh, okay. I remember where we're so keep going.
Yes.
Which is very different than the way, you know, the justice just interrupted Ruthie and just by purely interrupting and steering the conversation where he wanted to lead it without going back and checking in with her.
At all. And there's research to back up what you observe as well, Eula. There's a linguist named Deborah Tannen, who we talked to in the episode, who said that in her decades of research of how we communicate, when women interrupt in general, we interrupt each other to build on an idea, not to steer the conversation in a different direction.
Or to be dismissive.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good point. There's interruption and there's interruption.
Yes.
You mentioned that most of us don't have microphones in our workplaces. We do have. do have a microphone in my workplace.
It's funny you should bring this up.
Yeah. First of all, we radio hosts interrupt people for a living sometimes, right? Is that... Should we feel bad about that, or are we doing it wrong?
Well,
am I doing it wrong?
I mean, you know, conversation and interviews are not the same thing,
yeah.
Which you know,
yeah.
You know, and meetings and interviews on the radio are not the same thing. But, you know, it's never a bad thing to ask yourself why you're interrupting a person. And if you're interrupting a person because it's a live radio interview and you need to, you know, you need to hit a post, you need to like finish an interview.
Mm-hmm.
Then you should probably interrupt the person.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Or if they're saying wildly crazy things that are inappropriate, you should totally interrupt.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
What about in meetings? You've worked with me, especially you, Jeannie. Am I a man-interrupter? And you can be, I want you to be honest.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yes, you are.
I'm sorry. As I believe you. And tell me, what do you think is going on there?
Well, you know, there are a lot of different things going on. And that's one of the things we learned in the episode is it's really difficult to just say, this is what's happening. This is the single cause. Here's the single thing you can do to change it.
Right.
You know, but you're in a meeting. The meetings we have in the morning have a time limit, and then we have to move on to other things. And so, you know, sometimes you're jumping in because you want to get to the point. Sometimes you're jumping in because you're really excited about an idea. Sometimes you're jumping in because you don't understand what somebody else is saying, so you want to ask a bunch of questions. This is what I've observed working with you over the last 15 years.
Yeah, that's all.
You know, but the question you have to ask yourself when you're doing that is am I going to get what I want by interrupting in this way? Am I going to get the right answer? Am I going to move things along? Am I going to make sure that this idea is as strong as it is by interrupting right in this moment?
Mm. And then another part of it too is I'm an interrupter. Like, as a woman, I'm an interrupter. I know I'm that way. I get really like excited about conversation and I tend to jump in or jump ahead sometimes. And I've had to kind of really sit back and think about how it's affecting the person who I'm interrupting, right? Because they had something that they were trying to say too. And by me interrupting and steering the conversation in the direction that I like know is going to be so much fun to go in, I'm still not allowing that person to get their point across, which is really important for them to feel, you know, a connection to the conversation and feel heard and valued too.
Well, before we leave me aside, I did ask whether I was a man interrupter. So I'm also asking, do you think I interrupt women more than men?
I don't think that being a man interrupter means you have to do women more than men.
Oh, okay.
I think it just means that, like, there's something, I think men probably tend to do it more to women because we tend to come into spaces very much more, you know, aware of how we might be treated were we to speak differently. Right?
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. It's more interesting than just you're being sexist in this moment.
Yeah.
Although that may be true as well.
Yeah. I mean, there's a function to the word manterruption, right? Like, it's sort of helpful in that it communicates a certain thing, but that doesn't mean you can just be one thing. There are facets of interruption. Right?
Yes.
Yes.
There's the chip in. There's the, you know, there's an addition. There's a say more about that. I think you've got more to say.
Yeah.
There's nuances.
Yes. Yeah. But I will answer your question directly. If you want to know if you are or ever have been a manterrupter, I would say yes sometimes.
Yeah. Mm. That's fair. That sounds about right. Sorry.
No, it's okay.
But one of the tactics.
What is it?
One of the tactics that I was thinking too about, even just your guys' mindset of having these early morning meetings, and if you have an idea like that, Bill, and you really want to join in and be more, you know, contribute more, but you don't know exactly how to, you know, shift manterrupter versus contributor, you could just kind of make sure you're on the agenda every morning with something that you want to say, so that it's already pre-planned, that you have a moment where like the thing that you really want to get out gets out.
Yes.
And so it doesn't have to feel like, oh, I have to get this out, so I have to stop everyone else's conversation. It's okay, cool, I'm on the agenda second, so I get to get my idea out second. I'm just gonna be patient.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You can also write down your questions. It's not like, you know, you don't have conversations later, and, you know, bring those questions up later.
Yeah. You said that part of the problem with meeting culture, again, the podcast is Battle Tactics for Your Sexist Workplace. And one of the problems with meeting culture you point out is that it privileges people who are comfortable speaking up and maybe interrupting or being interrupted. And we were talking about it this morning at one of our meetings, and one of our producers, Amina, said she used to be terrified of speaking up in meetings and being interrupted, but she's glad she learned how to navigate those things. Sometimes she was pushed into learning, and she thinks there's a fair question here. Should we be when should we be accommodating of shy, quiet people? When should we not be, you know, when should we not be accommodating of that trait?
I mean, if we're talking about meeting culture, right, and if the goal of a meeting is to hear all ideas and to discuss all ideas, I would say you do need to be accommodating of people who aren't sort of naturally comfortable in that environment. If you actually want to hear everybody's ideas, you need to make sure everybody has a chance to speak uninterrupted. Otherwise, you're not really hearing all the ideas. You're just hearing the people who want to talk the most. You're hearing those ideas.
Yeah. And also, why are they at the meeting, right? If they're being delegated a task and that's the purpose of the meeting, then that's, like, you know, very different than a collaborative meeting meant to build ideas upon.
Right.
Because if a person doesn't get a chance to join in, I would hope that at the end of the meeting, I would say, Jeannie, I haven't heard from you. You know, the reason why I invited you here was to hear from you, girl.
Yeah.
But because I wouldn't invite you to the next meeting. I'd be like, Jeannie, don't talk. But if I had tasks for you, I also would just Slack them to you later. Like, you don't have to come sit in on this whole meeting for me to tell you later to, you know, staple everything together.
Yeah, that's a good point. We love meetings, but you have to be clear on what the goal of the meeting is. And sometimes that means making sure everybody gets to talk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You mentioned Slack. That's for those who don't know, it's a workplace communication tool. That's a place where you get to say everything you're going to say because you're the one typing. I wonder if Slack and other, you know, online media or computer media are changing what we expect about being heard.
Mm. I bet it's a good tactic for those who are shy and feel uncomfortable really speaking up in meetings.
Yeah.
I bet you that it's really allowed for them to contribute differently.
Yeah. It also helps for people who work remotely. You know, I mean, the idea of everybody being in the same physical space is, you know, that's not necessarily the norm anymore. But also, I mean, where do you make your decisions? If you make decisions in meetings, then you have to think about how everybody exists in those meetings and who gets to talk and who doesn't. If you make decisions on Slack, sweet. That's great.
Yeah.
You know, that means everybody can chime in and maybe the person who's got the best, you know, the best GIF game wins. Who knows?
Right. Mm-hmm. I'm too old to be a digital native. Do you think that younger workers have more of an expectation of a writing, Slack, texting, you know, Facebooking culture where they type everything they want to say and then they go to a meeting and they're not used to the, you know, we hear about young people don't like to have telephone calls and are meetings harder for younger people when it comes to interrupting? That's a general question, but I wonder.
I mean, there's certainly, you know, all I can talk about is my own observation and what other people have told me and researchers, but, you know, there are power dynamics in meetings too. So, you know, if you think about the people who traditionally have the most power in a room where there's a meeting, it's not the youngest people in the room, you know, so they might be more comfortable talking through ideas in a place where they don't have to sort of compete for vocal space, you know, where, you know, they're not dealing with somebody who has more power than them, who signs their paycheck, who decides if they get promoted.
Right. Mm-hmm. Eula Scott Bino and Jeannie Yandel, host of Battle Tactics for Your Sexist Workplace, and the latest episode takes up interrupting. And man-interrupting in some cases. Eula, you mentioned that a strategy is to put what you want to say on the agenda. We talked about writing a question down. What could I do if I want to be less of an interrupter of the bad kind, but in the moment, I think the meeting's running long. I think what I have to say is going to be a valuable addition at that moment for every lucky person in the room who gets to hear my voice.
Yeah.
In the moment, what could I do?
Are you me?
oh, yeah, it's you and me?
It totally is me. Okay. But what I've learned is what I have to say often can still be said to the person that I really, really needed to hear it before the day is done, you know? Which is not as much fun as a whole room laughing at the joke, but I can totally eventually just walk over to Jeannie and be like, what I was going to say 4 hours ago, which was really funny. But it didn't prioritize me over the work that needed to be done in the part and the team that I needed to support.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And you can also woe Nelly yourself. You can check yourself before you might think, but just do a little check. Is this really so? Is this really so? Before you speak up.
Yeah. And the check is kind of, you know, is this required to be said right now? Would it add to the conversation? Would it make a difference? Would it, as you know, or is it necessary?
Right. Or am I totally confused and need clarity?
And yeah. Do I just want to be funny?
Yeah. That's another aspect of interrupting. Sometimes that back and forth is going to be so funny for everyone.
Yeah. But then on the other end, that person might be like, dang it, Eula again, you know, did not allow for me to tell her that I cannot get to the bathroom without the key that she took from me 6 hours ago. And I, you know, this person needs to be heard too.
It's funny we brought up the idea of Woe Nelly, because I've just been telling people about this helpful thing I read about mindfulness, that's because I have trouble not taking the candy from the candy dish at the workplace. And I try to stop myself. But this thing I was reading was saying, think of it not as something you have to stop yourself from doing.
Yeah.
But just think of it as an urge that's going to pass. You have lots of urges. They come, they go like waves. And that has been so great for me.
That's really good.
Yep.
Because when it comes to interrupting, I just think, I don't really have to say this right now.
Yeah.
If it's important.
Yes. Oh, yes. Interrupting and candy. I'm excited about using that on candy because I have a similar problem.
Really?
I literally stopped at the candy dish and said no out loud to myself and kept going. And that's a bummer.
Yeah.
No, that's beautiful.
So we have a couple minutes left. Can we really fix this? This is a cultural thing. We're talking about interrupting in the workplace. Is this something we can fix by asking people to police themselves?
I think it's hard to say to someone, you're an interrupter, can you police yourself? Because I think that the first reaction for most people would be to get defensive and then to shut down and to probably not really like really all the way hear what's going on. I think the best thing about Battle Tactics for Your Sexist Workplace is that you can send these episodes to people just, you know, in a really simple text. And that's a really nice way to say, I want us to all be expanding our abilities in the workplace, to see each other, to hear each other, to be better coworkers. Listen to this episode. And they're probably just going to start mentally checking their interruptions anyways, right?
Yes.
So I wouldn't necessarily call them out and say, hey, you're like a man interrupter and I just need you to get it together. Because they might be like, girl, you're fired.
Right.
Yeah. But what's a better option is probably saying, oh, I'm really enjoying this new podcast. You should check out this episode.
Yeah. And one of the nice things about the problem of interruption is if people decide they want to become more conscientious or mindful of it, that is a way to make things better. Not every problem we face can merely be fixed by people becoming more mindful. But this can go a long way here.
Mm-hmm. And I think you can casually say, too, I'm really enjoying this episode about man interruption. I learned this really cool stuff. And then if your coworker is as nice as you are, Bill, to be like, well, am I a man interrupter? Be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You want to be honest. You need
They're asking the question.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know that was hard for you, probably, Jeannie, to say, like, yeah.
It was a little awkward, but then I was happy to do it.
But I bet you your relationship will be better and your workplace interactions will bloom in all kinds of ways, even after 15 years, right? Mm-hmm.
Eula Scott Bino, Jeannie Andel, mostly not interrupting each other here today about the latest episode of KOW's new podcast, Battle Tactics for Your Sexist Workplace, which you can hear with all the others wherever you get your podcasts. And you're on social media.
Yeah, yes, and you guys can come see us tonight, actually.
Yes.
We're having like a tactical meeting or a boot camp this evening at
The Riveter on Capitol Hill. Mm-hmm. I just interrupted you. It's 7 o'clock.
No, I appreciate you.
A tactical meeting at The Riveter tonight, 7 o'clock. Eula Scott Bino, Jeannie Andel, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye, y'all.